I'm going to stay in the book of Romans. I was going to go into something else, but I'm enjoying this, so so I thought I would stay here. Romans 14, 1 through 13. Disputable matters. You probably haven't seen any disputable matters this week. But maybe you have. Verse 1, except, if you underline in your Bible, if you're reading the NIV 2010, except, that's a good word to underline. Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge. There's another good word to underline. Must not judge, that phrase. Must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. There's our word again, accepted. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Do you believe that? It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Each of us will give an account of ourselves, not of your brother, not of your sister, not of your friend, not of your neighbor, not of the person sitting on your right or your left, but each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our time together. Jesus, may you be glorified. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Number one in your bulletins, if you'd like to follow along. Looking down on another believer over disputable matters. Looking down on another believer over disputable matters. Paul is talking about Christianity here and how each Christian should treat another Christian. And believe it or not, Christians can disagree over many things. Now, Paul had argued with believers. Paul had argued with other Christians who tried to keep people out of the faith. These group of people called the Judaizers, they would try to keep Gentile Christians out, saying, you must become Jewish before you can be a Christian. But once they were in the faith, once they had become Christian, Jew or Gentile, whatever they believed about their cultural experience, now Paul argues that we should not push anyone out who is a believer, who has confessed Christ. We should not push anyone out over disputable matters or matters of conscience, your translation may have it called. Now, a matter of conscience or a disputable matter is a practice about which God has not specifically spoken in His Word. He has not clearly forbidden it or not clearly commanded it. So they are in, they are believers, they have faith, so we must not push them out because of a disputable matter of what God has not specifically forbidden or specifically commanded. Those things which are matter of conscience fall within the circle of Christian liberty, Christian freedom. Do you believe in Christian liberty? Do you believe in Christian freedom? If you might have grown up in a staunch church and freedom and liberty was not two words you would use to describe Christianity, but there is a freedom in Christianity, there is a liberty in Christianity, and we are not to push other believers out with our words and with our actions over disputable matters. Now, whether these things they're doing are right or wrong depends on the conviction of the person doing them. That believer must be convinced in their mind, I believe it was verse 5 that says. Now, that does that mean all of us will agree over what is a disputable matter? What God's Word clearly forbids and what God's Word clearly commands. Sometimes this is a matter of debate. Sometimes this is a matter of dispute. And this debate and this dispute can go on for generations. I introduce you to church history. I introduce you to a thing we call denominations. Why are these things, why do we have so many denominations? Because we have had disputes over disputable matters. And some groups say this is not disputable and it must be this way. But in Rome, the people that Paul was speaking to, the Christians that Paul was speaking to in Rome, their disputable matter had to do with eating meat or eating vegetables. That was one of the disputable matters. It had to do with holy days. Some people say this day is holy. Some people say every day is holy. And we did not read verse 20 and verse 21. I think we're going to talk about those next week. But it had to do with unclean foods. There were a lot of Jewish people that were Christians in Rome. So they were saying you still can't eat these unclean foods. And it had to do with drinking wine or not drinking wine at all. There was disputable matters. Now the weak Christians in the church in Rome, they saw that they were surrounded by a wicked, corrupt, pagan world there in the capital of the world in Rome. And they said the best thing we can do is to cut ourselves off completely from this pagan world, not have anything to do with them. And if that means not eating meat, not touching meat, so be it. See, the Christians in Rome at that time were vegetarians. I mean, the really holy Christians in Rome were the vegetarians. Can you imagine that, a Christian vegetarian? Now, these weak Christians, as Paul points them out in our verses this morning, he says the ones who are not eating meat are the weak Christians, from his point of view, from Scripture's point of view. These weak Christians who only eat vegetables, they notice a woman who's in the marketplace. And she is buying meat. She is a believer, so-called, they would say. She claims to be a Christian, but there she is in the marketplace buying meat. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, all the meat in the marketplace had been at the temple, at a pagan temple, at the temple of Zeus, we'll say. And they had sacrificed this meat, this animal, to Zeus. And after they had finished with the sacrifice, they would bring the meat down to the marketplace and sell it. So the meat that she was buying had been sacrificed to the god Zeus. Would you eat meat that had been sacrificed to an idol? I don't know. I saw that on the television show Survivor about, I don't know, years ago. They had sacrificed a chicken on the show to some sort of pagan god. And one of the survivors who hadn't eaten anything in about 15 days went over and grabbed that chicken and said, I don't care. and tore into that chicken. Well, this woman in the marketplace, she's eating the chicken or the meat that has been sacrificed to the idol. So the weak Christian is saying she's letting our side down. She is completely compromised. You would think that would be the strong Christian that's saying those things. But wait, the way Paul says it here in Romans chapter 14, he's saying it's the weak Christian that says that she is compromised, that she is letting the Christian side down. The only response from this weak Christian toward this woman who is buying meat is condemnation and judgment. Now the woman knows perfectly well that she is called to holiness. Paul classifies the one who is buying meat and eating meat as a strong person in the faith. She knows perfectly well that outward regulations don't go to the heart of genuine holiness. And she's tired of those uptight, weak Christians looking down on her Christianity because she likes a good T-bone steak every now and then. She's tired of it. She is strong, and she understands that there are areas which we are free, and eating meat is one of them. Now, she may feel superior to the weak. She feels much more mature in her faith. She feels advanced. She feels wise. She feels spiritually sophisticated. She looks down with contempt on the weak Christian. The weak Christian, the vegetarian, now we would never call ourselves a weak in faith, but the weak Christian should not condemn the person who does not eat everything, who doesn't see this particular cultural experience as a sin. The meat eaters, on the other hand, are not to look down on those who are not to eat. We can't say those meat eaters are in grave spiritual danger, displeasing to God and an affront to Him. So how do you know? How do you know if it's a disputable matter? It's going to take grace. It's going to take wisdom. But what we must do, we must guard against thinking that almost every area is a disputable matter. We have to guard against that. We can't say that everything is a disputable matter. You can do what you want, when you want, ever how you want, that God has not forbidden anything or commanded anything. We must guard against that. At the same time, we must guard against the view that hardly any area is a disputable matter. You can do nothing. And God likes it that way. When you're doing nothing and you're not having any fun and you don't have any cultural experiences, everything is a sin. And for every generation, from generation to generation, the disputable matters will be different. So let's give a few examples here. Let's see if they're disputable or not disputable. Is a Christian free to steal? All right, we all agreed on that. I can show you a few verses in the New Testament that says all things are ours. I can take what I want when I want. Probably taken out of context a little bit. No, it's pretty clear. The Old Testament and the New Testament and Jesus and the apostles are pretty clear that stealing is not a disputable matter. We shall not steal. How about this one? When will the rapture take place? Before or after the Great Tribulation? Believe it or not, that is a disputable matter. You may be saying, no, it is not. It's going to happen before the Great Tribulation. I know it. I can give you volume upon volume upon volume of books that will say this is a disputable matter. In fact, if you believe that the rapture will take place before the Great Tribulation, you are in a minority of Christians throughout the history of the church. That is a very, very current, when I say current, I mean the last 200 years, a very current revelation to the church. And those are pretty deep ones, you know, stealing and the rapture. Let's look at a little lesser ones. youth convention last week. Had a good time. But the music in that place was loud. And it was bumping. It almost looked like a dance club or a nightclub. Is that a disputable matter? Some of you would have ran out of that place crying, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed. I wore blue jeans and a t-shirt last Sunday and tennis shoes. I'm standing up here trying to hide. Does a pastor have to wear a dress clothes, or can you wear blue jeans? That's a disputable matter. Some of you say, no, it's not. Well, I won't hold you in contempt for thinking that way. Can women wear makeup? Yeah. Should women wear? No. How many of you grew up in a church where that was not a disputable matter? Women shall not wear makeup. Yep. It's not that big of a deal anymore, but it has been. For me, I don't think you should drink alcohol. This is not a temperance sermon. I can give you reasons why, but it's not a temperance sermon today. The Assembly of God says you should not drink alcohol, so I submit to their authority. That's a debatable issue. When you debate about these issues, you should not have contempt or judgment on the ones you are debating. But I have a friend who is a Christian, and I am awed by his faith, and he and his wife both drink wine. And I know he's a Christian, and I think you shouldn't drink alcohol. And I could give him reasons, and he can give me reasons why you can. I don't judge him or contempt him. In fact, I'm awed by his faith. The Assemblies of God from the beginning has been against dancing. Thou shalt not dance. Don't go out to the dance clubs and dance. Is that a disputable matter? Well, the Assemblies of God is against it, so I have submitted to their authority. But it helps to submit to their authority when you can't dance, which I can't, so... So we can't take an issue of taste, of custom, or culture and elevate it to the mark of spiritual maturity. If we do that, Paul says we are weak Christians. But if someone does elevate it and say that we should not do that, then we cannot condemn or judge them as well. In every church, you are going to find weak and strong believers in the faith on particular issues. In fact, all of us here will fall into both categories. In some areas, you are going to be weak. In some areas, you are going to be strong. So that's where the not judging and not condemning and not showing contempt for other believers comes in. So the question to both the weak and the strong, why are we judging each other? If the Christian does this, he is not a believer, a true believer, a Christian. If a Christian does blank, they are not a true believer. And you fill in the blank with whatever you say it is. You say, that doesn't happen. Oh, I've read over and over and over and over again this week. If a Christian voted for him, he is not a Christian. If a Christian voted for her, then they are not a Christian. You see, you can't even have a discussion if we've already decided they are not believers. All we have is judgment and contempt. There better be a discussion. We need to have the discussion. But once you say they are not Christians, they are not people of faith, all we have is judgment and contempt before them, the discussion stops. So three categories of Christian standards: things God clearly commands, things God clearly forbids, and things permitted or left to our free and reasonable judgment, conscience. God commands, God forbids, leaves it free for our individual judgment. Now the danger is that we make things that are clearly forbidden or the things that are clearly commanded into matters of conscience. If we do that, we take the purity out of the church. And we can't do that. Another danger is making those matters of conscience things that are clearly commanded or clearly forbidden. When we do that, we take the unity out of the church. And it takes wisdom empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by Jesus, to not do either. And we can't do either. Number two. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're servants of God. God knows what His servants are capable of. God knows what His servants can do. Do you know what your fellow servant should do and can do? No. Why not? Because you're just another servant. God is the master, we are the servants. In verses 5 through 9, 8 times Paul says, Lord. Jesus is Lord, and I am not. Every servant is to make sure that everything that they do for the Lord's sake. So these disputable matters, these things you say that you can do or you can't do, you need to make sure you're doing them for the Lord's sake. And we need to make sure we're not keeping a list of what our other servants are doing. We're out working for the Lord and we got our clipboards with us and we see what they did and we're keeping a list. Oh, they went to the movies. You just made the list. They voted for him. They voted for her. You just made the list. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat. And that's where we will receive our rewards based on our time, based on our talents, based on our resources, based on our words, based on our attitudes. So instead of judging other Christians, we had better judge our own lives. And make sure that we are ready to stand before the Master, ready to stand before God. Because He is the judge, He knows all, He sees all, and He is always just. Eventually, all of us, we're all going to kneel beside each other at the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to face God. And our critical ways are not going to do us any good because each will stand before God by themselves on their own. You can't pull out your list and say, you know, I wasn't perfect or anything, but I got this list of, you know, Sister Brown. I don't think we have any Browns in here. Forgive me if we do. I got this list of what they did. I wasn't good, but look at this. Look at this. We can't do that. I got my hands full just taking care of me many times. If you're so complete in that area, not that we shouldn't encourage each other, not that we should, I'm talking about disputable matters now. Not that we don't correct people in their sin, yes, 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 but over disputable matters, we got to be careful. The Lord says, as surely as I live, verse 11, He established it with an oath that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. He quotes, he gives an oath. He swears by himself. He says, as surely as I live, I swear by myself that every person shall bow before me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You used that passage before, haven't you? Many times as Christians, we use that passage of Scripture and we're talking about sinners. We're talking about those people that we disagree with that are out in the world. We see them doing crazy and acting crazy and doing things we disagree with, and we say, well, they're going to stand before God one day, and their knee shall bow and their tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But in Paul's context, he's talking to Christians, and he's saying those Christians who have pulled out a list and are judging and treating their brothers and sisters with contempt, those are the ones who better be careful when they kneel before God at His judgment seat. Do you see that? Selah. May we get our souls right because we will stand before God. Number three, what should we do then? Let's stop condemning each other. Verse 3, for God has accepted him. That's a tricky word in our day and time, accept. But it's a biblical word. Who did Christ die for? Did he die for the people who just eat vegetables, or did he die for those meat eaters as well? I'm talking about disputable matters now. God has received us, so we must receive one another. St. Augustine, his famous quote on this passage is, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. And I like that. In essentials, unity. There are things that are essential. Thou shalt not steal. We believe that. But in non-essentials, those disputable things, liberty, but in all things, love. So the weak believer must not condemn the strong and call them unspiritual, and the strong must not look down on those closed-minded weak believers. So can you tell if you're sitting on the judgment seat of God? How can you tell if you said, I'm not going to kneel before God before his judgment seat, but actually went and told God to get up and you're sitting on the judgment seat? How can you tell? Contempt. If there is contempt in our hearts and our minds and our souls, we've told God to get up. That's what Paul said. We want the world to stop condemning and showing contempt and judging each other, but it never will until the church does. Until the church gets rid of this attitude. We have no right to criticize our brother or sister or look down upon them. We have to stop criticizing each other. Why do you look down on your believing brother? Why do you regard him with contempt? What's all this clashing, contradicting, and censoring among Christians? What is it? Why do we do this? He who eats to the Lord. He who abstains, you say we shouldn't abstain from things? No, go ahead, abstain. You say we can't eat? If you want, if you've thought it through in your mind, go ahead. But make sure you're doing it to the Lord. And make sure you're giving thanks to the Lord. Can you listen to secular music? I used to get in arguments with people when I was in Bible college because I like music, I do. And they say, you can't listen to that. And we were 19, 20, 21 years old. We were immature, so we'd fight and argue. Should you not only listen to contemporary Christian? If that's what you've decided in your mind to do, but make sure you're doing it unto the Lord. Can you listen to secular music? You can, but make sure you're doing it to the Lord. Christians must look at any practice and say, can I do this before Christ? Not can they do that before Christ? And condemn and judge them over disputable matters. Number four, a welcoming spirit. A welcoming spirit. That's the word I use. Paul uses the word accept. Accept them because God has accepted them. A welcoming spirit. Read verse 1 from a couple of different translations here. Accept other believers who are weak in the faith, and don't argue with them about what they think is wrong or right. Welcome the person who is weak in faith, but not in order to argue about differences of opinion. A welcoming spirit. People do not feel welcome when they know there's going to be an argument. Let me say that again. People do not feel welcome when they know there's going to be an argument. That's why many of us don't want to see our family in a few weeks at Thanksgiving, because you know it's nothing but an argument. over disputable matters. Is that true? Okay. You say we shouldn't discuss these things? Yes, good discussion should be had, but arguments end good discussion right away. When all opinions on disputable matters are not allowed to be heard, not accepted with hook, line, and sinker, but when all opinions on disputable matters are not allowed to be heard, the arguments rage or opinions are squelched and we run away and hide. There was a spirit of rejection and not welcoming in the church in Rome. Those meat eaters didn't want to show up at the meeting anymore because the vegetarians are going, "What are you doing? Who brought this pot roast?" And vice versa. So welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with over disputable matters. We got to remember they have their own history to deal with, and we have to treat them gently. So whatever a Christian's strength or weakness is in behavior or views, make sure that he or she is completely loved and welcomed into the fellowship, because they're welcomed by the Father. They should be welcomed by us. You would disagree with me on me. You probably disagree with something I said during this sermon today, but don't go out going, and I have to remind myself, go, I can't believe they did that. Is it a disputable matter? Yes, it's disputable. Living for Jesus. Is your character one that tends to want to rule all matters as being disputable, or no matter as being disputable? You can eat everything, you can eat nothing. Everything's a sin, nothing's a sin. You need to sit with Jesus on those things. Number two, do you have a welcoming spirit or a condemning spirit? I figure those two things that'll at least take you a week to figure out with Jesus. at least a week. I've been working on them for 41 years. But you'll probably figure it out in a week. No. But we do have to walk in the right direction. We do that empowered by His Word, by His Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, this can get so confusing. May we be people of wisdom. You said if we lack wisdom, we should ask You, and You would give us wisdom. So Lord, give us wisdom over disputable matters, over non-disputable matters. Lord, if someone breaks Your law, we don't say that's a disputable matter. We don't condemn them either. We grieve over this. We tell them humbly and we ask them to repent. And if they refuse, we don't accept sin. We don't do that. But we long for them to come back to You. But Lord, as they come back to You, as we're in the family of God, we're saying we're believers. Lord, if there's a disputable matter, Lord, help us not to show contempt and judgment in these areas. Lord, may we accept, may we have a welcoming spirit. In that welcoming spirit, that is where attitudes can be changed or insight can be given. And that condemning spirit, that judging spirit, that's where arguments grow. So give us the mind of Christ. Empower us by Your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Nobody looking around. I feel like the Holy Spirit said, if you felt pushed out by the church, you felt pushed out by family members, if you felt you were trying and you were believing and you felt condemned and you felt judged over whatever the issue may be. I'm not going to ask you the issue. If you felt pushed out and you would like to be received back in because God accepts you, if you felt pushed out, can I just see your hand? I want to pray for you this week. If you felt pushed out, I want to pray for you this week. That you'll feel accepted back into the family. You'll be welcomed back in. Is that you? You feel pushed out? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that we've never been pushed out by you. Our sins are very serious, very serious. So serious that they put you on the cross. You wanted to accept us. That's a very serious thing, so you went to the cross. Our sins are serious. You went to the cross. You wanted to accept us. That's serious. You went to the cross. And we thank you for it. We eat, we abstain as unto the Lord today. You are Lord. Would you just whisper that to him? Say, you are Lord, Jesus. We're your servants. You are Lord. 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 In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand and worship Jesus as Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord.
I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name.
Is Jesus Lord? Amen. Are you fellow servants with those meat eaters? Are you fellow servants with those vegetarians? Lord, we surrender to you today. We just thank you. We believe you've met with us today. Go with us as we travel our separate ways. Help us to be your arms extended in our communities, to our families. And Lord, I ask you, you would bless your people. That your face would shine upon them. That you would be gracious to every person here. And that you would give every person here peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.